Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buff Nation,
let's go.
Welcome in to DNVR Buffs Prime Time. We're presented by Illegal Pete's, everyone's go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beers. Happy Tears Day.
Happy Tears Day, everyone. You know, with each passing Tears Day, we get a little bit closer to the season.
Yes, that's the goal.
And I don't know, we probably have like 20 weeks left.
Well, now you just made me sad.
But each one, you just knock one off.
2 weeks till spring football. That there counts for something.
That like that kind of like evaporates a couple weeks of the off season.
Yeah, you get a little taste of it.
Yep.
It still leaves you wanting more, but it's better than nothing. So
you get to like hear Travis Hunter speak.
Mm-hmm. We get to meet the coaches, I'm assuming, at some
that'll
point.
Cool. That'll be cool.
But yeah, we actually haven't heard anything from the team in quite some time.
I know,
actually.
That's what I mean. Like that's what I'm excited for, just hearing from people once again.
Yep. How's it going, chat? Hope everyone's having a great Tears Day. We will get to Tears Day, but we are going to continue our position previews first. We also got a commitment today. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Running backs today, though.
Yes. Yes, sir. And it's an interesting position to me. Mainly because something we've talked about here before, they didn't do anything here.
Mm-hmm.
Zero moves.
Yep.
Other than adding Micah Welch, which I actually think matters, but not a position they felt a need at. And Jake, that's in my opinion, really like Coach Prime calling his shot,
mm-hmm.
like truly calling his shot on Alton McCaskill, because I am of the firm belief that if Colorado wanted to go get a running back this offseason, they could have gotten a high caliber one.
Definitely.
A player, like, if they wanted to punt on Alton McCaskill, they could have said, okay, well, we're going to go get a top five running back out of the portal. And there's running backs coming out of the portal everywhere. So to me, this is Coach Prime saying, no, we've got our guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting.
We've got our guy and we've got depth. We've got a great variety of skill sets, too, I think, with this room.
Totally.
I'll start off then. You already mentioned him, Alton McCaskill. Spring 2021, I think is when he tore his ACL. Missed the 21 season. Or spring 22, missed the 22 season. Came in last year, more than a year removed from that ACL injury. Just was never really right. We heard that he was ready, but only had 14 carries last year.
Yeah, and it was a weird. It's one of the actual. There was a lot of weird like subplots of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a little, a few of them with the corners yesterday, and at running back, I felt it was a really weird subplot because Alto was arguably the most talked about transfer.
Yeah,
a guy who scored 20 touchdowns as a true freshman at Houston, and it was just kind of accepted that he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, came in, wasn't able to participate, was not out there. Something that we were checking in on kind of every chance we had to talk to a coach or a player or, you know, Coach Prime. Hey, what's up with Alto? Oh, he's coming along. And, you know, you saw the well-off videos where he's like trying to bargain with Coach Prime to get out there, get out of the yellow non-contact jersey. And it's a cautionary tale that I've actually learned from the NFL that I did not apply in this case, but it's like, if a guy isn't there in the NFL case, I always say, if the guy's not there at the start of training camp, you should,
right.
Like if you're at the craps table, like pull your money back,
mm-hmm.
Pull your bets back because all bets are kind of off with a player who's not there at the beginning of fall camp for whatever reason. It's just rare for a player to come in late, whether that's off an injury or whatever else they're dealing with, and work their way to the top of the depth chart.
Yep.
And so with Alto, it was like, wait and see, wait and see, wait and see. Then he comes in. I think he gets like one carry at the end of the Oregon game. Remember we were talking like, oh, they're saving him for Oregon. They weren't saving him for Oregon. Yeah. And when all was said and done, it was just, it became obvious that he wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. He wasn't healthy. He didn't feel himself. And I hearken back to the opposite of this, which is Jamal Murray, who tears his ACL with like, I don't know, I think there's like 15, 20 games left in the season was this 2021? Then misses all of the rest of 21. He misses all of 22, and people are saying, oh, well, with 20 games left, he'll be a full year removed for the injury. Is he going to come back? He says no. Nuggets go into the playoffs. There's like this back and forth. Can he go? Is he ready? He ends up not going at all. Comes back the next year, is a beast in route to an NBA championship. And so it's like, we have seen these miraculous recoveries. I think it was Adrian Peterson came back in like seven months and like won MVP. Javonte Williams had a quick recovery, but he wasn't the same player. But it's like, you get used to this. Oh, they should just be ready to go. Mm-hmm. 8 months, 12 months for sure. Some guys just aren't that way.
Yep.
And you're much better off making the eventual decision that Alton made, which is, okay, let me just shut it down. Give myself a real chance to be myself next year. And I think that was the right decision. And again, a lot of eggs being put in the Alton McCaskill basket.
It's within reason, though. I mean, you look at what he did as a true freshman, behind Tyler Johnson, a guy who's going to block for him again this year. And, you know, they were mauling people up front with that Houston team. But Alton was, I mean, you watched him and it was like, wow. Like, that was just eye-popping, especially from a true freshman. Like, we saw what Dylan was able to do against TCU, and he had some flashes definitely last year. But it's literally like taking that and every single game. Like, he was their offense that season. But the thing with ACLs is a lot of it's just confidence, you know? Like,
yes.
Doctors can, you know, do all the MRIs. They can tell you it's structurally intact, you're 100% healthy. But if you don't have confidence in that leg and you're not showing confidence with your athleticism, it takes a while. And that's why, I mean, you explained Jamal Murray. A lot of guys are just different with it, just having confidence back in that knee. And, you know, he eventually did shed the yellow contact jersey, but again, only 14 carries. He had two receptions too. But it's going to be a big year for him.
Big year, and you just need to trust. I mean, as a running back, more than anything, you have to trust that plant leg.
Mm-hmm.
One of Alton's best attributes is his ability to make cuts, quick cuts in small spaces. And that's how he was able to get so many rushing touchdowns. It's just like, find a spot, explode through the hole, and, you know, finish the run into the end zone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, if he gets back to who he is, then I think he is the obvious number one running back. But again, I believe they're gambling a little bit that he is able to just regain that form. And I trust Coach Prime on that gamble.
Absolutely. I mean, coming into this spring period, though, it's going to be 2 years removed from him. He's always posting the workout videos that he's been doing with his coach. He looks perfectly healthy to me at this point. I also think last year, I mean, they couldn't run the ball, obviously. They had bad offensive line play. Yeah. That had to have factored in, too. Like, if this guy isn't completely confident in his knee yet and he's still kind of working back, one of the worst things you could do is throw him behind a bad offensive line where he's forced to make cuts and try and get himself out of trouble, sometimes even before he crosses the line of scrimmage.
Totally.
So I think we're both in lockstep here. He'll be the lead back. I'm very excited for him. He's one of my favorite players on the team to talk to.
Yep.
He's just awesome.
Super like self-aware. I felt like he was very humble about his situation last year and just a mature kid.
I remember when he came on our show, the pregame show before ASU, and just he showed like some vulnerability then too. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, he's a very mature guy. And even him, I remember when I asked him, like, do you consider yourself, you know, kind of a young guy or a vet at this point? He's like, I don't even know. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to figure it out. So
now he's a vet.
Yes,
for sure.
Definitely. I guess the only thing else I wanted to add with Alton, I just remember watching this from him at Houston. He was a great goal line back.
Yes.
Just not even just like putting the head down and finding his way, kind of what you said, just being able to find the tiny little holes that he could squeeze through just to get those short yardage gains. He's pretty complete, I think, honestly.
And you talk about it. We talked about it yesterday in terms of like linchpins, catalysts. Great football teams run the ball in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Unequivocally. Now, maybe I shouldn't say unequivocally. There are very few exceptions to the rule. But if you look at teams that overachieve and teams that dominate, it's because they can get to the 10-yard line and say, we could run this ball three times and score.
Yep.
And obviously, you're going to have Shador throwing a lot of touchdown passes this year. But it is a different level of success in the red zone when you run the football.
Yep. Being able to pick up those short yardage gains when you absolutely have to. That's almost kind of the definition of good teams right there. Next guy. Dylan Edwards, I mean, burst onto the scene last year, obviously.
Emphasis on burst.
Yeah, definitely. one of, if not the fastest player on this football team, and a guy who just, again, the bad offensive line play, you know, the whole offensive coordinator situation, and just his overall usage last year just kind of left you scratching your head and wanting much, much more because we know what he's capable of.
Yeah, I mean... you could point to a lot of things and say this was Sean Lewis's greatest sin, but not getting Dylan Edwards the ball in space more is really high up there for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that pass protection a lot of times comes down to the players. Like, you don't hear about offensive coordinators who can scheme their way out of a bad offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen like Peyton Manning work his way around one.
Yeah.
But that's Peyton fucking Manning.
Right.
So I would, there were things that they could have done. There was ways to commit to the run more and try and all that stuff. And those were issues. But when you have a weapon like Dylan Edwards, who, like you said, bursts onto the scene and commands gravity from the defense, not forcing them to honor his ability in open space on a game to game basis, was painful to watch.
Yeah. It was rough, man, because you just knew what he was capable of, especially after that TCU game. I mean, we were talking three players in the Heisman conversation after that game because of what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
four touchdowns.
It's crazy. And then that he only scored one more, and it was the last game of the season.
With five. But five touchdowns as a freshman is crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
Really good. I mean, it's not 19 like Alton.
Yeah.
But that is a fantastic freshman campaign if you just look at it on paper. And then when you see four in game one, one in game 12, you say, what the hell happened?
Well, it's obvious that there was something at play other than Dylan at that point. I mean, of course, he's a freshman. He could do a lot of things better, I'm sure, but there were just so many factors with this offense last year, the bad offensive line included. But kind of what you said, like how, you know, they tried to like focus Dylan early in some games and you could tell, but they would so quickly go away from him, and he was just being non-factor the rest of the game. It was very frustrating.
And it never felt thought out.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, let's get Dylan the ball on a couple stretch runs, if we're lucky. Maybe a toss. But it's like, I don't know. I would have liked to see... There's so many things I would have liked to see, but one of the things I was thinking is like, why didn't we get like a third and one speed option?
Mm-hmm. Well, even the I think it was the third touchdown against TCU, that just the pitch,
yep,
right on the goal line, just literally let him get a little bit of a head start, give Shador a pitch to him,
yep,
and let the guy just make something happen with his speed.
And there's so many like play action and things you can do off of that pitch. That was our best running play last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Shador takes three steps to the right or the left and pitches it out. They did use it once against CSU, and when they needed it most, remember they faked it and threw it back to Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like there's so many options with Dylan. And I really, if we were able to talk to Pat Shurmur off record, because I wouldn't ask him to, you know, put this stuff on the record.
Yeah.
One of my questions would be like, how much have you thought about how you're going to use Dylan Edwards? Mm-hmm. Because there has to just be like, there should be 100 plays.
Definitely.
In the playbook that are just, how can we get Dylan in space?
Right. I guess.
Really quick.
Go ahead.
Any chance that he's bulked up a little bit. He, you know, is just such a home run threat that he ends up leading the team in carries?
I don't think so. We've talked about, you know, run pass splits a lot with this team already. And I think I think that Pat Shurmur is going to try and emphasize the run much more than they did last year. And I think that you can do that with Dylan, but, you know, it's thunder and lightning. You know, you need someone to go in there and just be physical. And that's what Alton's going to do. So
I just want to look at this really quick because he's at least my comp. And this is obviously a ceiling play for Dylan Edwards. But to me, Darren Sproles is the ceiling.
Yeah.
That's the comp if he reaches his ultimate potential. Darren Sproles had a 230 carry season, a 300 carry season, a 244 carry season, 6.2 yards per carry, 6.5 yards per carry, and then his senior season, 5.4 yards per carry, 17 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns. Like, I know everyone's going to say he's not big enough, blah, 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 blah. You're right. But there are players who transcend it. Deuce Vaughn, another one, who can transcend the size with vision and speed and, you know, cutback ability. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still putting Alton as the favorite in the incumbent. I would say, like, it's his throne. It has to be taken from him. Mm-hmm. But don't be completely blown away if Dylan figures it out when it comes to running anywhere on the field and is just one of those guys that's like, okay, well, if you spring one block for him, it's a first down.
Exactly. You can't overstate the improvement in the trenches and what that means for the entire team, every running back, every player, really, because he's got the home run speed. And like you said, sometimes he really just needs a block and the guy gets outside and he can outrun everyone. And it turns a 10-yard gain into a 60-yard gain, you know? Mm-hmm. So he had 76 carries last year. I guess set the over-under at that, 76. Did you say more? With receptions, he had 36 receptions. That's 112 touches total.
I'll take the over. Okay. Over on everything.
All right. I think so, too. I think so, too. Next guy is Savion Wilkerson. Coming in from JSU. Was really their most effective back at times. Yep. I say that, though, but then you look at the stats, and this is, again, part of the offensive line issue. 53 carries for 190 yards and three touchdowns. That's 3.6 yards per carry.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me in week 11, it's third and two and you're going to run the ball, who do you want it to go to? I would have picked Savion Wilkerson. Mm-hmm. He's not necessarily explosive. He definitely brings some power to the game, but he's one of those guys that I just don't, I don't think should be counted out.
Definitely not.
Runs just so hard that coaches will just love that.
I mean, if you have Alton as your lead back and, you know, you got the change of pace speed element with Dylan, but then you have another hammer that you bring in Wilkerson right behind, like, it's kind of a tone thing, setting a tone, especially with this offensive line, just this running back room. Like, we were very much a speed finesse team last year. And just having that powerful thunder aspect this year, being able to be physical and bully people, like, that is how you just take control of games. And having a guy who can come in and kind of be the 1B to Alton's 1A with that element, it just helps emphasize that point of trying to own the line of scrimmage, be more physical, and just be physically dominant.
Yep. And that just reminds me of a point as we're talking about running backs and running the football that I really think shouldn't be understated. People think that Coach Prime wants to throw the ball around on every play because he's trying to pad Shador's stats and get him ready for the NFL and this, that, and the other. And it's just, it couldn't be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. And the best way to prove that is to go back to the stats at Jackson State and look at the splits and look how much they ran the ball and look at Savion Wilkerson's role in that offense. And heck, even go look at the, you could just watch one game, which is the Celebration Bowl, which they ended up losing, but they tried so hard to get the run established in that game because what does Coach Prime say? He doesn't want to win. He wants to dominate. Mm-hmm. You dominate teams by running the ball. You can, of course, put up a bunch of points chucking the ball around, but teams feel physically dominated and beaten down when you can run the ball at will. And I promise you with 100% certainty, if Coach Prime had his way, they would run the ball at will before throwing the ball, you know, 50 times a game.
running the ball makes everyone's life easier.
Yep.
The quarterback, the offensive line, the running backs, the wide defense. Receivers. Exactly. Everything. So, yeah, can't be overstated enough. Micah Welsh has already become a fan favorite, is another guy that kind of fits that bowling ball physical mold that we've talked about with Savion, a little bit with Alton. But this guy, I mean, there's a reason why he's won over so many people, not only in the building, but the fan base already. He just looks like a grinder, man. He's here to work. 5'9", 210.
I just love players like this. Especially at running back, there's just something about it. Like the just quiet grinder who doesn't care about stars or stats or anything like that. But he's got to listen to his coaches. He's going to consistently get better. Mm-hmm. And eventually you're going to have to give him the ball because it's the right thing to do when a player's just doing everything right. And a lot of times guys with this approach and this attitude just succeed. And mm-hmm. it's just like, well, we have to keep giving the ball because every time we do, it works.
Right.
I'm excited for him.
Very physical, was the Georgia Region 4A Offensive Player of the Year in 2022. Last year at Baldwin High School, 113 carries for 895 yards, 7.9 yards per carry. I don't know if he got hurt or they just stopped recording the stats here, but they stopped in mid-October, so that could be subject to change. Mm. But had a 200-yard game. I mean, the averages are off the charts here when you look at them. So I wouldn't call him a speed back, but he seems like a very good, well-rounded back,
mm-hmm.
especially at this point in his career.
And just for a freshman, absolutely chiseled.
So for him, it's got to be pass pro and yep. catching the football. That's how you get on the field.
And he has the body to be able to pass pro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot more difficult for Dylan.
Yes.
It's just he's always going to be at a size disadvantage on who he's protecting against. And that's going to make it harder for him. Now, that doesn't mean he can't succeed. You know, you've seen little backs go and just like rock linebackers coming through. But number one thing with pass pro is the willingness to do it.
Yep.
And then that's when the other stuff comes in. And that's where like Michael Welsh is just going to have to prove to the coaches like, yeah, I'm willing to go, you know, hit someone in the chest.
Yeah, stick my face in a linebacker's chest.
Yep.
Absolutely. Last guy we're going to talk about, a lot of people's favorite walk-on, Charlie Offerdahl. Often ball.
Yes. Man, I wish he would have gotten carries last year.
I know. Why not?
Exactly. And that's my biggest reason why I wanted to see him get carries last year is just like no
2 for 11 is all he had.
Nothing's working for anyone. And you just put Charlie out there. And I have a little bit of leg to stand on there because when Charlie played the year before, he played well.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the same thing where it's like, oh, I can't run the ball. And it's like, oh, there's Charlie inside zone out of the shotgun. Oh, 8 yards.
And he was like the size of Dylan that freshman year too. Like he was a very small back when he was getting carries on a very bad team.
You guys don't realize that it's like Owen McCown, Charlie Offerdahl, and who was the receiver?
Jordan Tyson.
No. The guy who transferred to Charlotte.
Jack Hystera.
it was Charlie Offerdahl, Owen McCown, and Jack Hystera were like, oh, well, like maybe these guys can become something once they grow up.
Yeah.
We were in a dark place, but
it was rough.
The point being, I would have liked to see Charlie just like get a couple fuck it carries.
Yeah.
Like, well, no one else is working. Go ahead, Charlie. See if you can get something going.
His two carries came in the blowout win over Nebraska. I don't even remember them. So they must've been very late in the game when Staub was in.
Yeah. I don't remember him either.
Yeah. You were probably already celebrating at that point when Charlie was getting the ball.
In what game?
Nebraska.
Man.
Remember Staub came in?
Yeah, yes, and it did not go well.
It did not, but I mean, we'll get into the quarterbacks.
I'm actually still kind of mad about that because what did the score end up being? 36-14?
Mm-hmm.
It should have been 36-7 or 43-7, and it just would look so different.
Yep.
But they did the right thing. They put Staub in there, but it just like it couldn't have gone worse.
Right, right. That's it. That's the running backs. I would ask you the same thing we've been doing, most touches, yards, touchdowns. Is it all Alton, though?
Touches, yards.
Touchdowns, I say for sure, because he's a great goal line back. I think touches.
Yeah.
It's him, and then overall yardage is him.
Yeah, but I think that Dylan is being slept on a little bit.
Okay. I mean, it's either, it's one of the two. I'd be very surprised if it's Savion or Michael Welsh this year.
Yeah.
But you never know, I guess. Time to chill with our friends over at Coors Light. Come down to the DMVR bar, hang out with us here, crush a couple Coors Lights. Or if you're just chilling at home on the couch with some buddies, whatever it is you're doing to chill, Coors Light is the beer for the occasion. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit reset, grab the bill. That's beer that's made to chill. You can get it delivered right to your door with Instacart. Go to www.coorslight.com/DMVR and they will send it right to you.
Take the training wheels off when it comes to Coors Light.
Okay.
You've drank Coors Light. You know it's good.
Of course I've drank Coors Light.
You know the mountains turn blue. You don't have to read the script.
I'm reading the CTA.
You do have to read that part. But this is, you know.
I got you.
I got to put you on the spot.
That's fair enough. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Is the chat chilled today, says Louise? Well, Coors Light.
We'll see.
Maybe they need a Coors Light. Coors Light's made to chill. Also, check out our friends over at Game Time. Use the code BUFFSBUFFS at Game Time to get $20 off your first purchase. That's code BUFFS at Game Time for $20 off your first purchase. It's a great deal. And the thing about Game Time is the prices usually go down. So you wait and you wait and you wait. You already messed up by not getting the tickets on the early rollout.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to have to, you know, be a little more strategic. I do the, like, every hour on the hour leading up to the game, check Game Time, keep an eye on the trends, be ready for it. But tickets are going to be sold out once again when it comes to Buffs games this year. So if you don't get tickets on the early rollout, you're going to need to use Game Time. Use the code Buffs for $20 off your first purchase.
All right. It's Tears Day. Ready, are y'all? Today, we are ranking Big 12 superstars.
Hell yeah.
We've got 12 of them.
All right.
Some teams have multiple guys, including Colorado, of course. But these are basically the best players in the Big 12.
Hell yeah. Shockingly, a lot of really good ones.
This is going to be a damn good conference again. It's really got some Pac-12 parallels to last year where... Yeah. Top to bottom, I think this might be one of, if not the best quarterback conferences in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of under the radar a bit. You don't have the, you know, a big name like an Oregon that's super flashy and stuff, but there's a lot of good football teams in this conference, and it's because of a lot of these players, really.
Absolutely. Let's get it started.
First guy is Cam Rising. Coming off that ACL, another ACL guy, didn't even see the field last year. We talked to him at Media Day. He said, yeah, I'll be out there. Never made it happen.
Liar. Got to knock some points off for being a liar.
Year, I don't know, 32 of his college career. Where are we at right now?
Okay, so the way that I'm viewing this is like there can only be so many quarterbacks in certain categories. And because of that, especially coming off the injury, I'm not putting him in either of the top two tiers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting him in second team All Big 12 tier. And that's just a tier. That's not an actual prediction that they're going to be second team All Big 12, if that makes sense to you guys. Because I don't even know if he would be there. But he's not unserious, so I got to put him somewhere somewhat fair. I'll put him in second team All Big 12.
I mean, he's a great player. He's been in the Heisman conversation for the years that he started in 21 and 22.
What does it mean to be in the conversation?
He was leading an undefeated team going into conference title weekend. You know, he was just among the handful of 7 to 8 names that got tossed around at that point.
Fair enough.
I mean, he had probably the best game of his career, went toe-to-toe with C.J. Stroud with that group of wide receivers in the Rose Bowl 3 years ago. It was a long time ago at this point.
Yeah.
And then he tore his ACL in the succeeding Rose Bowl at the end of the 22 season. I don't really know what to think of him at this point, but he's a good football player. I just don't think he's Heisman caliber. If he hasn't done it yet, like, you got to look at Utah. What are the odds that this year's Utah team is better than the 21 or 22 team? I don't think it's that great.
No. Also, we just did offensive players, right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Just so everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that to me, he's like the Ryan Tannehill of college football. It's like he's really good at the stuff that is set up for him by that offense. It's a run first offense. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, you get to like bring the linebackers down and throw little crossing routes over their heads. And he's really good at that. But he's not a, you know, Cam Newton got killed for this take. I thought it was actually kind of a good take. You're either a game changer or you're a game manager.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a game manager than a game changer, in my opinion.
That's fair enough. Another guy who's kind of battled through injuries, Jalen Daniels. He's up there as one of, if not the top Big 12 player to win the Heisman, up there with Ollie Gordon, I'd say, that mm-hmm. I've seen the most. We'll get to
You're
Ollie.
Talking about from a national point of view.
Yeah, like odds standpoint from what I've seen so far. An electric football player, man. He dealt with a back injury a lot last year that caused him to miss, I think, some games early in the season. Then it shut him down later in the season. With that, though, he came in and kind of still looked like Jalen Daniels a bit. Maybe not as much as a runner as he was in 22, but throwing the ball, he was very efficient. Only threw 75 passes, completed 75% of them, 700 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception.
All Big 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's right on the cusp for me. Like, this could be a massive year for him, and it could honestly catapult him into, like, serious NFL draft first-round conversations, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's really, really good. I think that if Kansas were to go 11-1 and, you know, win the Big 12, he could definitely win the Heisman.
Absolutely.
But
second tier. Yep.
I think I only see 3 players that are going in that top tier.
That's how it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Next guy. A guy who was he's been on Heisman lists a lot in his career, but has just never really had it. KJ Jefferson at UCF now.
I hate to do this to him. He's unserious.
I agree. He's been playing football since 2019. You know, you look at the throwing splits between touchdowns and interceptions, they're pretty solid. In his career, 67 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. He's added 21 rushing touchdowns to that, nearly 2,000 rushing yards in his career. He is a dual threat. He's gotten a lot of the, you know, Cam Newton stuff because of how massive he is. He's around 6'3", 250 pounds, but just hasn't ever really put it together. I like the fit with him and Gus Malzahn, though.
I think he's good. Like, I do think he's good. That's why maybe unserious is a little bit aggressive of a name for the tier, but he's definitely a tier below Cam Rising.
Mm-hmm. Noah Fifita.
Ooh, this one's hard.
This is a very hard one. Came in halfway through the season in relief of Jaden Delora and just
tore it up.
Improved on what Jaden Delora was doing.
Yeah.
Only played in all 12 games, but kind of split time through them. I don't think it was until end of September, beginning of October, when he finally got the starting quarterback gig and just, 25-6 touchdown interception ratio, 72% completion.
There are some wild takes going through the chat right now.
Honestly, I'm like,
Jefferson's elite? Come on. Someone else said Cam Rising, best quarterback in the conference. Like, no way.
It's a good conference, I'll say
it
that.
It is.
There's going to be a lot of opinions.
Fair enough.
Fifita, though, coming into his second year, exploded as a true freshman. I think a lot of people are already putting him on this pedestal, and kind of rightfully so, but the guy is a little small. I don't know. It'd take me a lot for me to put him in that top tier.
Okay, so someone said he's overrated in the chat. Again, kind of a wild take. I don't know how he could possibly be overrated. I don't even think he had a bad game.
His worst game, honestly, it might have been the Colorado game.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
That was his worst passing output of games in terms of yardage in games that he started last year. He didn't throw an interception, but he never threw more than one interception in a game.
So what was the game against Colorado?
Colorado was 21-34. That's 60%. So easily the lowest completion percentage, easily the lowest yardage, but 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Maybe that's why people think he might be overrated. Is that was the game they saw? It was still a pretty damn good game. And that was his worst game.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to let you slot this one because I'm in between two tiers.
Like I said, I it's not enough for me to put him top tier, so I got to go all Big 12 caliber behind Jalen Daniels too.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that you could make the case for him to be Heisman. The only Heisman candidate, which we were supposed to say, not Heisman winner, Heisman candidate. Mm-hmm. It's a case, but I think the big thing to me is that it's going to be a whole new offense without Jed Fish, who, for all of his shortcomings, is a great quarterback offensive guy. Coach, yeah. He's a quarterback guy. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, that's what he made his living doing. I think there's going to be a little bit of a drop off for Fifita without having that on his side. So I think it's fair to put him all Big 12. But I think you could make the case for him being in that top tier. He would, I think, be my fourth.
Okay. Next guy. Another one that's like kind of really just potential based at this point. That's Avery Johnson at K-State. Was the crown jewel of that recruiting class in 2023. Came in as a true freshman. I mean, kind of replaced Will Howard, who is, when you look at Heisman odds now, Will Howard is up there in top three or top five almost everywhere.
Is he at Notre Dame?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, okay.
Avery Johnson is a complete dual threat too. The passing splits aren't great, but he's an athlete. He's at K-State. We've seen them succeed with these type of players before. Colin Klein, of course, was in the Heisman conversation at one point. This is just a potential-based one again.
Yeah, I'm going to go second team all Big 12.
Okay.
Like him as a player, but he's behind Rising to me in that category and above Jefferson.
I agree. I got to see so much more with him.
Yeah.
But he's on this list for a reason.
And he's electric.
He is. We're going to skip Shador there. We'll do him later. We'll do, I left him in here, but Josh Hoover at TCU. We talked a lot about the TCU quarterback, obviously, last year. Chandler Morris kind of, he had a big game against Baylor, I think, a few years ago. And that's kind of the reputation he rode on as a starting quarterback and then just didn't do too much. But Josh Hoover comes in, a guy who was fairly highly recruited. They're excited about him at TCU. It's got to be bottom tier, though.
Yeah, right? I'm serious.
All right, let's hit a break real quick, and then we'll wrap this up. Shout out to Fubo. Football season is over, but if you are a sports fan, the best place to stream all your favorite sports is Fubo TV. You can stream live on any device. You get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR. It's just the best to kind of set everything up. You know, even if, like for me, I can't watch F1 at 6 a.m. every Sunday. Just hit the auto record on Fubo. It's right there for me every single day.
That's a bigger conversation about watching sports recorded. I can't do it.
Not even your soccer? No.
Nope. If I make it up for the game, I'm up. If I don't, I don't watch.
It's hard because I'm obviously addicted to my phone and Twitter. So it's like trying to break the cycle of, you know, checking Twitter and the news first thing in the morning. And then, oh, shoot, I just saw the F1 like winner.
Yeah. I understand. I can't do it, though.
It's got Pac-12 Network. You can watch all the Pac-12 tournaments, final season of the Pac-12. We only have like a month left of the Pac-12's existence, basically.
Yes, but we'll be in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament.
Yes, we will. Get on Fubo TV. Watch all your favorite Buffs basketball and college football in the fall. Go to www.fubotv.com/DMVR to sign up, and you can get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro.
Also, check out DNVR. Become a DNVR diehard member. Get access to all of our diehard content. Get access to discounts on merch, discounts on events. You can get a free shirt when you sign up. We just dropped multiple new Buff shirts. So if you don't want to pay, if you want to get that shirt and get a bunch more value, best thing to do is become a DNVR diehard. So check it out. Go to thednvr.com/diehard to become a diehard today.
All right. Do we want to keep Shador to the very end?
Sure.
So the next guy, Baron Morton, Texas Tech, was one of...
Make the case.
Well, okay.
You're going to have to talk him out of Unserious.
All right, I will.
Okay.
I think I can. Texas Tech has recruited very well offensively. Joey McGuire is an offensive head coach. They're kind of, this is a make or break year for them. They got a five-star receiver coming in. They've got a ton of weapons on the outside. And last year, it was his junior season, but really showed some promise. 62% completion, 15-8 touchdown interception. Didn't start the whole year, but you know, you look at this offense, you look at the skill on the outside. If he's just able to literally distribute well, protect the football, he's going to put up numbers.
Your attempt was unsuccessful. He's unserious.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Next guy we got, Garrett Green, West Virginia. We've talked a lot about this guy, too. Came in, had a really impressive year last year. Fifth-year guy. But West Virginia is kind of a, I don't know what to think of them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just super up and down over the last 5 years. Had a decent year last year. Not a great completion percentage, but you know, you look at the touchdown splits and ran for 700 yards and 13 touchdowns with that.
On 54% completions.
29 total touchdowns to 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
I don't think West Virginia is in like a sleeper Big 12.
He is going to be a fifth-year player, which is a huge advantage as at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll let you place this one. It's either second team or unserious for me.
I like him more than Baron Morton. It's got to be second team for me, behind Avery Johnson.
So though, you have him above KJ Jefferson, because this is where I'm starting to question if KJ should have been up a tier.
We can move KJ up.
Okay. I would put him above Green.
Fair enough. Do it then.
All right.
Put him above the West Virginia guy.
Or just in front left of him.
There you go. Yep. Ollie Gordon.
Well, we have our first.
Yep.
In the top tier. Ollie Gordon, a bona fide Heisman candidate.
Mm-hmm. I can't say enough about what he did last year. Didn't even have 300 carries. Still ran for 1,732 yards, 21 touchdowns. Averaged 6.1 yards per carry, caught the ball out of the backfield a bit too, is just seen as one of, if not the best backs in college football, and is routinely at the top of Heisman preseason odds lists.
Yeah, it's funny because there was a long time there where the Heisman was kind of a running back award, and if we were still in that world, he might be the favorite. He's the best running back in America as far as I'm concerned, and he is probably going to be playing in his last year of college football this year, which tells me that Oklahoma State's going to ride him.
Yeah,
they're going to say, "Hey, this is our last year. We're going to give him, you know, 400 touches."
Well, and they have another 19th year quarterback who wasn't very good last year. Yep. Like that team's going to go as far as Ollie Gordon goes.
Yes, he's so good though.
He's the truth. Teteroa McMillan. I've loved this guy since I first saw him last year at Arizona. He's just a beast.
He's so good.
Had 90 receptions, 1,402 yards, 10 touchdowns, even threw a touchdown pass last year.
I think he's all Big 12. He's right there with Fifita. Let me just ask you this, because I think you could make a case for him to be in the top tier.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think, though, for him to put up the numbers he would have to put up to be in the Heisman tier, the Heisman candidate tier, it would really have to be Fifita who was kind of carrying that load. And then he would be the better Heisman candidate.
I think so, but we saw Devontae Smith kind of do it where Mac Jones put up crazy numbers.
Good point.
And Devontae Smith, I mean, he was just a unicorn in all aspects, but I think Teteroa McMillan's kind of up there too. It's kind of, you know, Devontae Smith's a bit more wiry, a little more slim, but Teteroa's got the length, he's got the size, he's got the speed. He makes the tremendous catches all the time. He bails out whoever's playing quarterback for them. He's up there not only in the Big 12, but best receivers in the country, I think.
Is you putting him top tier?
I wouldn't, because we got two guys that we got to talk about.
Okay.
And I think Travis is better.
I do too.
Travis Hunter.
All right.
Two-way player, obviously.
Yep.
You know, you talk about superstars. He's a true superstar already.
Mm-hmm.
he is, we talked about this yesterday, he's kind of got that Deion Sanders aura about him where he's going to come in, he's going to have an immediate following, he's going to be like the athlete of a generation almost at this point.
He could be, for sure. He's the best player in college football,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. So he's absolutely Heisman tier, and I at right now, where would you put him? In front of or behind Gordon?
In front of.
Okay.
The two-way ability, I think, means a lot.
I think so, too. He's one of one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to bring up this point earlier, but you need some brand awareness to win the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
There has to, you know, it's why all of these schools do these campaigns. Remember, you had like Bo Nix in yep. Times Square last year. Like yeah. everyone's trying to get a little bit of star power because part of it is a popularity contest. And Travis Hunter might be like the exception to the rule at Colorado. And what I mean by that is, Colorado gets so much hate. Coach Prime gets so much hate. Shador gets so much hate. Shiloh gets so much hate. The team gets so much hate. Travis, low-key, doesn't. He kind of has transcended it. He's, like, so likable that people just can't... They can't even fake it that mm-hmm. they don't like him.
Yeah. Well, and he's, like, so good, too, that if you even try to hate on him, it's just, like, you look silly. Like, you look dumb. Because yes. he's yes. just... You can doubt him, obviously. He had the Stanford game. There's a lot of things that... didn't go his way last year, but you can't deny the unbelievable freakish talent, man.
Yep.
Shador yep. Sanders, does he go in front of Travis? He's the quarterback.
For me, yes. To me, Shador is the number one Heisman candidate in the conference. He's going to be the best player in college football this year, in my opinion, and he's going to be the number one overall pick.
I agree.
He's going to be the best quarterback in college football this year, and he's going to be the number one overall pick. And I think he has a great chance to win the Heisman on the way.
I agree with a lot of that. I just think I'd put Travis in front of him just because he's not a quarterback. We can keep it like, I'm just saying, to be able to, like, seriously, look at Deion Sanders. Like, he was bigger than his team's quarterbacks. And it's, you know, he does have Shador, but going into the NFL, like, if they go to different teams, which they probably will, Travis is going to immediately be one of the most popular, if not the most popular player on his team.
Oh, yeah. The jersey sales and stuff for exactly. both of these guys. And that's going to be another thing that helps their draft stock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like every top pick is going to sell jerseys. Obviously, Caleb Williams is going to sell a million Bears jerseys this offseason. Like, that's kind of how it works. But, and again, this isn't the end all be all, but you don't think that Shador is going to sell more jerseys than Quinn Ewers?
Oh, easily.
By like a lot, right? and same would be true for Travis versus whoever else you want to put in that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I put him right there, but the reason I would put Shador as number one is just because it is a quarterback award.
Definitely.
There's going to have to be like a big groundswell of analysts pushing for Travis to convince people to not just vote for a quarterback, which is what they always do.
What does Travis's stat line have to be to win the Heisman? So last year, missed three games, only played in nine, 57 receptions, 721 yards, five touchdowns. Defensively, 30 total tackles, three interceptions, five passes defensed. What do you think?
He's got to have at least six interceptions.
Okay.
Maybe even more.
I think there needs to be a couple pick sixes yep. in that too.
Yep. And I think he needs over 1,000 receiving yards.
Yep.
And over 10 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 10 touchdowns, like 1,125 receiving yards and seven interceptions. It might be hard to keep it out of his hands.
And, you know, with the Heisman, you always talk about Heisman moments. But if this guy has, like, a game-winning pick six or something, especially against a good team on this schedule or, you know, in November, that could be enough, I think, to kind of push him at least into the New York conversation, if not to win that the whole damn thing.
What odds do you think, and sometimes you can like ask a sports book, so maybe when we're at Circo, we can ask for odds on this, for both Travis and Shador to be in New York?
Both of them together?
Mm-hmm.
So, real quick, our guy Bill, he said he just took these odds at Circa. Shador at plus 3,500 to win the Heisman. Shador was at 6,000.
Wait, say it again. You said Shador twice.
Shador 3,500, Travis 6,000.
Oof.
So it's got to be plus 12,000?
More.
20?
Yeah. I would take that if I could.
Could you imagine, though? That means so much went right. The offensive line played well.
Mm-hmm.
The defense played well. Shador was just throwing flames out there, and Travis was the best player in almost every game.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
And does that sound crazy to you? Because it doesn't sound crazy to me.
Not too much, no. It sounds pretty realistic.
Yeah, I mean, I have so much conviction in this. Like, you can say it's a homer take or whatever, and that's fine. But just wait.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see what happens when they get onto the field.
Definitely. All right. Last thing I have is Carson Westbrook, 2024 wide receiver / free safety / DB, committed to Colorado as a preferred walk on. Coach Riz retweeted it. This guy produced. He was a great receiver last year, kind of a Travis Hunter like stat line: 42 receptions, 700 yards, 5 touchdowns. On the defensive side of the ball, 40 or 66 tackles, 7 pass defense, 6 interceptions.
Yeah, yeah, I've had enough of the buff insider.
We'll see exactly where he plays, but I'm noticing a trend with the preferred walk-ons in particular. They're just going after pure athletes. Both sides of the ball, just... If you have the athletic ability, we'll bring you in and we'll figure it out as we go along. It's a lot of what I've seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plays baseball too, played basketball also, I think.
Like I said, the mark of a great program is great walk-ons.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you'll see these walk-ons and you'll be like, how is this dude a walk-on? Look at his stats. Look at his film.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what you have here.
Yeah, and he played in Georgia, Schley County High School in Ellaville, Georgia. I don't know what level that is, but you know they've really recruited the South, particularly Florida and Georgia, a lot. And, I mean, getting under the radar players from there is probably one of the best places to try and look around and see if you can find some gems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there'll be someone somewhere who says, like, that spot could have gone to a Colorado kid. It's like, yeah, it could have, but yeah, it didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm the most Colorado person there is.
Right.
I'll take a walk-on out of Georgia over a walk-on out of Colorado. Definitely. 10 times out of 10.
Absolutely. 5'11", 180 is what he is at right now.
Also, Louise asked if RG was filling in for Alyssa. No, that is Yaya on the sticks today, doing a great job. Alyssa back tomorrow?
Is she? Okay.
We hope she's enjoying her vacation.
We haven't heard anything from her, so I'm assuming she is.
That's good news.
That's all I got. Do you have anything else?
I do not have anything else, except for the fact that, like, it's okay to disagree in the chat. Like, yes. You guys can disagree with us. You can even, like, call me a homer or anything like that. But as soon as you start being disrespectful and, you know, calling names and shit like that, we're going to have to... take care of that, because the chat should be a place for Buffs fans to come in and hang out and talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Each day, not have to deal with like your bullshit hot takes one after another after right. another, and then start calling people names for disagreeing with you and all that. Like,
nope.
That's just not the type of community that we're trying to foster. So like I said, dissenting opinions, those are welcomed, but be respectful.
Well said. We'll embrace the debate, but be nice.
Exactly.
Shout out Louise for sure.
El Rod,
what's
baby.
Up, man?
All right.
What do we got? Big Teasy again, man. This time it's hippo character and tactical gear does tactical flanking maneuver hand gestures.
Do you know what tactical flanking maneuver hand gestures look like?
All
is
I'm,
it like?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. You're like peek behind the wall. You're like, yeah. this way.
Do you see it? Is that what it's doing?
No. Okay. I can check real quick if it's
What do we got? BP as.
Can Alston?
Are we talking about Taj?
I'm thinking Alton. Yeah.
Alton will not be changing positions.
I don't even know what position he would change to.
Right.
Slot receiver?
No.
That's why I thought it was Alston. I thought you meant like NFL draft. Like, could he play inside or something? He is a bigger guy.
You can clarify if you need to, BP.
Monty, are you guys interviewing Alto Freddy? He said so on his podcast. Yes.
Yes, sir. Alto in the building.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
Mm-hmm. It's one we've wanted for a while.
Yep. Triple L, RKF seats in section 220, seat 5-6. Are those good seats for the season opener?
Gotta look.
What's your section again?
I don't know. I'm changing.
To the end zone, right?
Folsom Field seating sections. No. I'm getting out of the end zone. I'm currently in the end zone. I think I was in 209.
Okay.
But Allie doesn't like it there, so. And as I always say, there's no bad seats in Folsom. So wherever mm-hmm. this is, you're not going to be disappointed. 220. Yeah, I mean, when I grew up, we were in 119, like my whole life, for like the first, I don't know, 100 games I went to at Folsom, which is right below that. So yeah, you're gonna love it there.
Connor, for my question for my Buff brothers, where would y'all have Hankerson in the rotation if he was still in the black and gold for research? He's, of course, at Oregon State, which is why he's asking.
Two.
I always liked Hank.
Yeah. I mean, he was one last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be two this year. Obviously, very different role from Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan is kind of two right now, but in a completely different role. So I like Hank. He's a good player.
I think Oregon State still has Damian Martinez, so.
Do they?
I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
I don't know, man. When you have a guy like that who's just already proven he can be a bell cow, it's just kind of tough to give other carries. But Hank is a solid back, I think.
Yeah, Damian Martinez is nice.
Roderick asked, did you guys see Juju Mitchell on Reach the People podcast saying he was back?
No.
No, I did not see
what?
That.
What? By the way,
there's no way. He was a graduate last year.
Hey, you never know in today's college football, but maybe he just means like he's living in Boulder.
Yeah.
Shout out to Darius for reviving the podcast.
Yeah. Let's go, Darius.
He's got obviously unreal access to get guests, so mm-hmm. he's already had some great ones, and I don't expect that to slow down at all. So go check out Reach the People podcast. Haven't seen Darius in a minute.
Yeah.
I guess we rub shoulders briefly at the Super Bowl.
Right.
Also, real quick, before we continue, we have over 800 people watching, only 200 likes. Minimum 500 in the next 10 minutes is easy.
Let's crank these likes up.
The like button. DW's asking when Unk's back. He's back next week, but we're gone next week when he's back. So the week after that, starting spring practices, will be probably the next time we'll have him.
One of these days, we got to get Unk to come with us to Circa.
I'm surprised he didn't go with us to Super Bowl, honestly.
I know, but he's a busy man.
He is. He posted a thing. He does like voiceover work. I don't know if
great,
he told
dude.
Me that.
That was great.
At
no, one point. He has like a whole other like entire life in
I know.
In Mississippi.
It's crazy.
I love it.
Could you imagine just watching or like driving in your car and you hear the radio and it's Uncle
it's going to happen to us while we're with him driving.
Yeah. Heaven's Demon asking if we know, do we know if Shador signed on to be in CFB 25? We do not yet.
I'm so scared.
We'll be fine. How do you feel about Arch?
Oh, bro, don't even get me started.
I want to hear it.
Okay. Take number one, lame. Take number two is backup quarterbacks not being in the game should not be news.
Yes.
Take number three is the reason was he wants to focus on football, which is the most bullshit reason I've ever heard in my life.
On three, this tweet just came through. It says Arch Manning wants to wait until he is the quote unquote the guy at Texas before opting into EA 25.
Okay. All right. Now I just came up with a little spin, a little pro Arch spin in my head. Is he doing this because he's like, oh man, if I'm in the game, everyone's just going to bench Quinn and make me the quarterback when they use Texas?
All right.
Is he taking one for the team here?
Yeah, that is a great spin. When I first saw it, I was like, you don't want to be a distraction, but this is bigger news.
You just made news.
Yes.
It never would have been at all mentioned if you were in the
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's weird. Unless he's like, if I'm in the game, I'm not going to be able to stop playing it. So I'm right. focusing on football by excluding myself. It was lame. It was lame. It had at least 80% chance. It was just like he told them, like, I'm only in it if you give me more money, and they said no.
Yeah,
which is going to happen with more players, and I won't hate on them for that. But like, if Shador's not in it, I'm just begging that he doesn't say it's because he wants to focus on football or whatever. Like, just say I'm not in it.
If Arch is getting this, if Shador opted out, could you imagine?
It's gonna be a big deal.
We'd be gearing up, preparing for war every day.
Yeah,
on the internet.
The Heisman winner not being in the game is gonna be a bad look for them.
Mr. Support Friend, well, running the ball more this year lower Travis and Shador's stats? I don't think so.
Okay. Wait. What? Oh. No, there should be more. If you have a balanced offense, there should be more opportunity.
Exactly. You should be extending drives more.
Exactly. So more plays overall, even though they're not all going to the passing game. By the way, the Girls Club came in with some clarity. Juju wasn't on the Reach People podcast and never said he was back. He was just in the Champions.
Oh.
I was just getting a workout in.
Yeah. Mr. Philly, is it possible that efforts to win the Heisman influences how much CU passes and to whom they pass?
No.
No.
Like I said, if Alton McCaskill has a game where he's averaging like 7 yards per carry,
mm-hmm.
you might see a game where Shador throws the ball like 13, 14 times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I don't know how likely that is. It's really hard to run the ball at that rate. But if they did, like, they're not going to force throwing the ball for no reason.
Just think about how many times they went 3 and out last year. The drive stalled before midfield because they couldn't run the ball. They had to pass the entire time. Like,
yep.
I think there's just more potential for extended drives, for longer drives, and for ultimately more points on the board and more wins, which is what Heisman is really about at this point,
absolutely.
Being relevant at the end of the season.
Absolutely. That's all we got.
That is all we got. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. I don't know, another position preview?
Probably.
All right. See you then. Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs.